I invite you to open your Bibles if you'd like to do so at this time. I've got a few remarks to share with us here. I'm going to be working out of a passage in Acts chapter 2, and so you're welcome to join me there if you care to do so. We know from Scripture that the early church gathered regularly, frequently, we could say. And they did that for the purpose of encouraging each other to be strong in the faith, especially all the more as we see the day approaching. One of the first descriptions we have of what it might have looked like to be a part of the early church is found in Luke's second volume, the companion volume to his gospel, and that's the book of Acts. And that's why I've asked you to be turning, and maybe some of you have already done so, to Acts chapter 2. Tim did a really neat thing during communion when he asked us to kind of think about what would it have been like to have been part of that Last Supper. And then he asked us to think about what would it have been like to have been part of that supper that Jesus had with a couple of his disciples after his resurrection. And I don't know how deep you could do that or how far you went with that, but it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. What would it have been like to have been present in those two events? Well, continuing that thought, let me ask you, with what knowledge you have, to try and put yourself in the Jerusalem church, the church that we read about in Acts chapter 2. What would it have been like to have been a part of that community? What would that have looked like? What would that have felt like? What would that have consisted of? What would that have looked like? And it's kind of hard to do that. Maybe it's impossible really to do that, to really take ourselves back nearly 2,000 years and think about what it would have been like to have been a part of a church back then. But I just want to set that kind of as the table here for the next few moments. What would that have looked like or felt like? What would it have been like to have been a member of the Jerusalem church, the very first church that we read about in Scripture, the very first community of the Christian faith that Scripture describes? Now, to kind of help you envision what that might have looked like, I want to read part of Luke's description of that church. Here's how he described it in chapter 2, beginning down around verse 42. Here's how he described what it was like to be a part of the Jerusalem church. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Does that sound like something you would like to have been a part of? It does, doesn't it? I mean, that I have a preacher friend who refers to the Jerusalem church. He describes it as shock and awe. I think that's probably pretty accurate. If we could transport ourselves back this morning into that community, into that experience that those baptized believers were having with each other. Don't you think it was incredible? The fellowship was so sweet. The teaching was so amazing. The sense of togetherness and oneness and unity and just the sense of sharing life together. They were with each other daily. They were in each other's homes regularly. The praise that they offered to God, what it must have sounded like. I suspect that everything they were experiencing in that context far surpassed anything they had ever experienced before. It was absolutely, I suspect, amazing and incredible. Now, here's a question. What made it that way? Why was it like that? If, and I suspect we're correct, it was an incredible experience. If the Jerusalem church was an awesome community to belong to, with excitement and enthusiasm and passion and just an awesome experience, if that's correct, and there's no reason, I think, to think otherwise, then a question I have is, well, what made it that way? Why was it like that? And that's probably a multifaceted answer to that question. I don't know that you could say there was just one thing that made it what it was. There are probably many factors. And I think I can probably pinpoint a few of them. One of them might have been the presence of the apostles. You know, these men had been with Jesus, and that had changed them. That made an impression upon them. And that had to have been to be able to talk to Peter and listen to him share about the day that Jesus asked him to step out of the boat. And for a few fleeting seconds, Peter, what was it like to actually stand on water? To be able to have that conversation with someone who was actually there and experienced it. When Peter maybe shared that, let me tell you this day that Jesus asked me to get out of the boat, and I did. And for a few moments, I actually stood on top of the water. Wow! Or to hear some of the other stories that they shared of things they had experienced with Jesus. Remember, they walked with Him, they talked with Him for 3 years. They ate, they slept, they drank, they did everything with Jesus. They watched Him teach. They watched Him perform miracles. They watched Him deal with incredibly odd circumstances with wisdom and love. And that had to have made a difference in them. In fact, Luke says as much, just a chapter or two over, in chapter 4, in verse 13, to be specific. Luke says, when the men of the Sanhedrin, that was a Jewish council that held some religious authority over the people, when the men of that council saw Peter and John, they realized, Luke says, they were just unschooled, ordinary men. And they were astonished at how such ordinary, unschooled men could do the things that they were doing. And then Luke adds this, they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus had changed these guys. And having access to these men and listening to their preaching and listening to their teaching and watching them perform the miracles and the signs and the wonders that they were doing had to have contributed to the Jerusalem church just being an awesome place to be. I suspect another factor, and I won't have time to flesh this out very much, but just to mention it, was the presence of the Holy Spirit. among the Jerusalem church. The Jerusalem church was a Holy Spirit-filled church. The men and women who heard Peter and the other apostles preaching and who asked, "What shall we do?" were told, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so both collectively and individually, the Jerusalem church had the Holy Spirit all over it. And that must have made an incredible difference in how people experienced life in that church. But there may have been one other factor, and this is what I want to talk about for just the remainder of my time this morning, that factored into the quality of life that the early church, the Jerusalem church in particular, experienced, I think, had something to do with this factor, and that is the devotion of the Jerusalem believers. Look again at how Peter describes them. When he looked for a word that would describe the Jerusalem church and the baptized men and women who made up that faith community there in Jerusalem, he landed on the word devoted. Did you notice that? There in verse 42, he says they were devoted. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to the fellowship they were experiencing with each other. They were devoted to the breaking of bread, which I personally believe is an allusion to communion that they were sharing with each other on a regular, possibly even a daily basis. They were so devoted to one another that when someone was in need, someone who had more than he needed gave what he had so that someone who didn't have what they needed would have what they needed. They were so devoted that Luke can say they were in each other's homes regularly, that daily they met in the temple courts and they praised God and they broke bread in their homes and shared their lives together. When Luke looked for a word to describe this faith community in Jerusalem, the word he seems to have landed on was the word devoted. They were devoted to the Lord, yes, and also to one another. And that had to, I think, impact the richness and the quality and the excitement and the enthusiasm that was part of the Jerusalem church. Their devotion helped create that special place that the Jerusalem church was. Devotion is important in a lot of ways, isn't it?
All right, Bobby, Shirley, you knew that was coming, didn't you?
You were afraid of that?
This has not been rehearsed, okay? So I may not get the answer I'm looking for. How long have y'all been married?
Close to 47 years.
47 years.
47, not going on 48.
Shirley's nodding her head. Good answer.
I'm not very good at numbers.
All right. What role would either one of you or both of you say devotion has played in your marriage? Devotion to each other, devotion to the marriage. How important, in other words, has it been for the two of you to be devoted to this relationship? Just share a word or two about that.
I think it's key. You can't have a relationship, a marriage relationship for sure, and maybe not much of any others, but I don't think you can have a good, close relationship long-term without that.
Yeah.
I agree. And if he's not with me when I'm asked to make a decision, I try to think what he and I would discuss and what we would come to. I mean, it's not just Shirley wants this, that. It's what would work for both of us.
Right. It takes two people devoted to the relationship. If you're not married, listen to this. If you're thinking about getting married, listen to this. It takes two people devoted to the relationship to make it work, right? You can't mail it in. It can't just be one person giving their all, devoted to it, and the other person's not. It takes both people being fully devoted to the relationship and to each other. Any of you in here who've been married any length of time, I think you would completely agree with Bobby and Shirley that one of the keys to marriage being a fulfilling, sustaining, happy, good experience is the devotion of both partners, of both spouses, to each other and to that relationship. Would you not agree with that? Yes. Yeah. Devotion is that important. Come here, buddy. You're Tyson. Tyson had a birthday. No, not yet. He had a birthday party last night, turning 14 years old. Happy birthday, Tyson. Give Tyson a hand. All right. I understand, Tyson, that you can play the saxophone.
Yeah.
All right. Do you aspire to play it even better than you do right now?
Yeah.
All right. What's it going to take for you to one day, if you aspire to do this, be a well-known performer and saxophone player?
Devotion.
Very good. You are listening.
Yeah, hey.
So you're going to practice maybe once a month?
No.
No.
Like every day.
Every day, right? You're going to devote yourself to developing the skill that you have to play that musical instrument. If you want to excel at that and become the world's greatest saxophone player, it's going to take a lot of devotion on your part to do that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that.
Thank you.
All right. Tell us what it took to build this.
A whole lot of protein.
A whole lot of what?
Protein.
Protein.
And devotion, I guess.
And devotion, yeah. Right? You didn't get these guns by going into the gym once a month, did you?
No.
No. No. Seriously, it took time, didn't it? And it took effort. It took a level of devotion to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You had to eat right. You had to let your body rest. And then you had to train it. You had to lift those weights. Yeah. Is devotion key to any area of life? You want to excel at a skill. Carpentry. Or woodworking. We've got some folks in here who are really good with that skill. What did it take to be able to take a piece of wood and make a beautiful piece of furniture out of that wood? It took a degree of devotion in your life to learn how to work with that wood, how to do that, how to piece things together, how to make that work. Masonry. People who build the buildings and the structures on campus that are bricked. It takes a level of devotion to learn how to do that. How to develop that skill. Does devotion play a key in our spiritual development? Sure it does. We have to have a desire. We have to have a willingness to devote ourselves to spiritual disciplines, if we aspire to have the fruit of the Spirit more evident in our lives, we have to participate in the work that the Spirit is doing in our lives. Is devotion key to the quality and the experience of a church family? See where I'm going with this? If we want the quality of fellowship that the Jerusalem church knew, if we want the quality of our praise to be that like the Jerusalem church experienced, if we want to share life together to the extent that the Jerusalem church did, we got to be all in, don't we? We can't take it or leave it. It's like that marriage relationship. You can't mail it in. You can't have one person devoted and the other person not really all that interested. It takes both working together to make that marriage fly and soar. Folks, it's no different in our relationship with each other. If we want to fly as a church, if we want to flourish as a church, we do it together. And that takes devotion on all of our parts. We can't mail it in. I'm glad they're devoted, but I'm not really all that interested in that. You get what I'm saying? A moment ago, David, on behalf of the elders, shared from his heart this challenge. We want to be led by the Spirit here. We want the elders to lead us. We want to be the church, the light to this community that God has called us to be. We want to be a blessing. God said to Abraham years ago, through your descendants, all nations will be blessed. We're called to bless this community. How best can we do that? We do it best together. Being all in, heart, soul, mind, body, and spirit. Let me implore you. Let's fully devote ourselves to the Lord and to each other as a church family like we've never done before. If we want to be the church that I think God has positioned us to be on the most visible corner in this town, more people see this piece of property every day than any other piece of property, more than likely, in this entire city. And here we sit. 30 years ago this year, God brought us here. 30 years in September, we will have been on this corner. When we got out here, there wasn't even anything else out here, remember? Walmart wasn't here. It was just a woods. There was nothing from this way out. We were the first one here. Now look at it. This might be the most valuable piece of property in our county. Not that we want to sell it, we don't. But it's probably worth as much or more than any other piece of property in this county. And God put us here. And if we want to continue to be the light and the blessing that I believe God wants, why would He have put us here if He didn't want us to do something in this community? Why would He give us such a unique position if He didn't expect something from us? Think about that. Are we living up to that? Are we open to to what God wants to do through us here on this corner, less than 50 yards from where people all over the world are coming and staying for years to learn a skill, to get a job. So, let's be all in. None of this, well, maybe a little, you know, no hokey pokey stuff here, right foot, left foot, all that stuff. The whole body. Let's get everybody on board. All aboard. All aboard. Everybody on board. Nobody holding back. Nobody saying, well, just a little bit. No, all aboard. We ought to make that our theme this year. All aboard. Get on board. And let's see where God takes this train. Let's be the Jerusalem church in Murray, the church that when people come into, they encounter an awesome experience. Can that not happen here? Is God not able to do that again? He is, if we're willing to devote ourselves to Him and to one another, He will do great things through us. Amen? Amen. Please, let's get on board. If you're on board, stay on board. If you're not on board, get on board. If you can't get on board, do what you got to do to get on board somewhere. We want you here. Get on board. And let's let the gospel train roll on the way the Lord intended for it to when He put us here 30 years ago. Amen? Amen. All right. Hey, bless somebody sitting beside you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.